So we're on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. There are two Mishnayos on the Amud. Let's go through the first Mishnah. Tanur Shesikua Bekash Ubegvava Lo Yitein Bein Mitocho Bein Me'al Gabav. So with regard to a Tanur, which is an oven that has a good deal of heat, much more heat than a kira, so we're going to be more machmir with regard to a tanur. And even in the case of kash ugvava, which is less of a problem because those are things like straw that go up in smoke almost immediately, nevertheless we're not going to allow putting food not inside the tanur nor on top of the tanur. Okay. So therefore we're being more machmir because it has a capacity of retaining much more heat. And even though in general straw is something that goes up in flames and immediately gets consumed, it doesn't really create coals and gecholim, but nevertheless, we're still afraid that maybe he might poke and stir the flames. And that's the gzera of Shemi Chata B'Gecholim. Now, once again, we have the old suffix of how to interpret Lo Yitein, whether Lo Yitein means Lo Yachzir or Lo Yisheh. But let's assume that if in the first Mishnah in Perikira we reflect the Sheet of the Chachamim and Shehiya is prohibited, if there's no Garuf Katum, then how much more so in the case of a Tanur, certainly we're not going to allow Shehiyan and Eino Garf Eino Kot. Now we get to something called a Kupach. A Kupach, I have a picture of it here in the Masifta. A Kupach, just one second, let me just review what we know already, but I just want to make sure we get this right. The Kupach, I think, is a little bit larger than the Kira. One second. Yeah, let me just see where it is. One second. It would be number Tess over here. Let me just get this straight. So we have the Kira, and we have the Kupach, and we have the Tanur. Okay, so let's just go through one by one. So we have first and foremost the Kira, and we said that the Kira is Tanura Asu Bishra Asu Ken Kiderin. So the Kira has room for two pots on top. And the Kupach only has room for Kedera Achas Bilvad. So there's less air space coming in, less air coming in, and therefore there's more heat. It's not as hot as a Tanur. He has a diagram of the Tanur, because the Tanur basically keeps its heat inside. Okay, so let's see what the halach of a kupach here is in this Mishnah. He says, kupach shisikua bekash ubegvova reze kirayim. So he equates kupach with a kira, at least in the case of kash ugvova. So it's being heated up by straw. So in that case, we could be more mekil. But the geffes ubi etzim, kitanur. If it was heated up with wood, which really creates gecholim, then we're machmir and we give the kupach the status of a tanur. In the note here he writes, a kupach is built like a kira, but it contains only one pot instead of two pots. So it's hotter than a kira, but not as hot as a tanur. The Mishnah therefore rules that if it was heated with straw or stubble, it's treated leniently, and one may place food on it. But if it was heated with wood or mark, he calls it, then it's treated stringently, and one may not place food on it. Then we have to ask whether it's a garuf or a katum or not. So let's go straight to the Gemara. The Gemara says that tanur shi sikua, so you have a tanur, is sover of Yosef lemeimar tocho tocho mamish al gabov mamish aval lismoch shapir domi. So Rav Yosef wanted to take this Mishnah literally, and the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to place food neither inside the tanur nor on top of the tanur, but implying that alongside the outside of the tanur, which is called lismoch, that would be mutter. And in that sense, we are equating a tanur with a kira, because if you remember the final conclusion back on Daf Lamed Zayin about samuch, about smicha, was that we could be mekil and put food on the outside of a kira. Eisve Abaye says the following. The Mishnah in the Sefer says, kupach shi sikua bekash ubegevav arehu kikirayim begefes uve eitzim arehu kitanur viasur. If it's heated up by wood, then it has the same, this kupach has the same status as a tanur. Ha kikira shari. The implication would be that had we equated a kupach, even in the case of gefes v'etzim, with a kira, then it would have been mutter. B'mayaskinon, ilem al gabov. If you're going to tell me that we're dealing with a case where the food is being placed on top of the kupach, ubemai, and what was the situation inside the kupach? Ilema v'she'eno garfa katum is ela kira ki eina grufa ktuma al gabav mishari. It's impossible if it's an eino garfa eino katum. We reflect the shita of the Chachamim, and an Eino Garf Eino Katum is also El Alav, but it must be that the Mishnah means to be Mekil in a Kira only as far as Smicha is concerned, but not as far as putting it either inside the Kira or on top of the Kira, because that would in both cases be Asur, because an Eino Garf Eino Katum. And El Alav Lismoch, it means that had we equated a kupach with a kira, we could have allowed smicha on the outside. Ukitani Areu Kitanur Vyasur. And yet we're saying about this very act of smicha that kupach has the same status as a tanur in Gefes of Yetzim, and therefore smicha is asur. So how could you, Rav Yosef, come to the conclusion that smicha is asur, I'm sorry, that smicha is mutter, even in the case of tanur, when it's clear for the Mishnah that even in the case of a kupach, smicha is asur, how much more so in the case of tanur? Omar Rav Adabar Ava, he's trying to reject Abai's argument. Hacha bekupach garuf katum v'tanur grufo ktum askinon. Our Mishnah is talking about a garuf katum. And the Mishnah is saying that if the kupach was heated up by kashu gvava, then it has the status of a kira. But if the kupach was heated up by gefes uve'etzim, it has the status of a tanur. The af al gav de garfa katum al gab of asur. What the Mishnah is implying is that the reason why this kupach is asur, because we equate it with a tanur, is, and it's also even on the top of the kupach, and we're talking about a garf and a katum. The implication is the ikikira, that if we would have equated a kupach with a kira, is then ki grufo ktuma shapir dami, then it means that the status of a kupach, if we would have equated it with a kira in a case of a garfa katum, we would have allowed to put food on top of the kupach. So this is Rav Ada bar Ava. In other words, a kupach that was heated with wood and it's hotter than a kira, because it is only room for one kedera, as we said before. So we're going to treat it like a tanur, and it's usur to put food on top. Oh, if that be the case, then our Mishnah is not addressing the issue of smicha at all. And Rav Yosef wanted to assume that the Mishnah was talking about smicha. Right, again, going back to Rav Yosef for just one moment, Rav Yosef thought that lismok shapir domi, that we're only equating a kupach with a tanur as far as al-gabov, but as far as smicha is concerned, it would be mutter. But Rav Ada bar Ava is pointing out that our Mishnah is not addressing the issue of smicha at all, because we're talking about equating a kupach with a tanur as far as a grufa ketuma is concerned. And we're saying that if it would have been a kira, if we would have equated kupach with a kira, then it would have been mutter in this case, because it's a garfa katum. But we're not talking about equating it with a kira smicha. We're not talking about smicha at all. We're talking about putting food on top of the kupach, and we're going to say that if a kira and a kupach have the same din, then just like you'd be allowed to put food on top of a kira, if it's a garfa katum, you'd be allowed to put food on top of a kupach. So the Gemara says, but Tanya kavase dabai. But in fact, we have a braisa to support Abaye. Tanur sesikua bekashu begvava ein somchin lo. We don't have a het to smicha. We ain't tzarch lomer al gaba. We ain't tzarch lomer tocho. And for sure, you're not allowed to put food on top of the tanur. You're not allowed to put food for sure inside the tanur. We ain't tzarch lomer begefes ubeitzim. And all these isurim would apply for sure in a case you heat it up with wood. Kupach. It depends. Sesikua bekash ubegvava. Then we're going to equate kupach with a kira rather than with a tanur, and we're going to permit smicha. But somchin lo, just one second, v'nosnin al gabov. And if we would equate, in the case of Kash Ugvo, we will equate a kupach with a kira, then even al gabov it's mutter. Okay, al gabov. This has to be fleshed out a little bit, if there's a difference here between betocho and al gabov. Anyway, but we want to get to the punchline, and that is begefes ubi eitzim. However, the status of a kupach in the case where it's heated up with wood is not like that of a kira, but rather that of a tanur, the ein somchin bo, and there is an isus smicha, and that's going to support the opinion of Abaye. Amale Rav Acha Berei the Reveler of Ashi Hai Kupach Eki Dami. So what is a Kupach? Iki Kira Dami is Afilu Begefesu V'Eitzim Nami. Even if it was heated with wood, we should allow putting food on top of a kupach. V'ikitanur dami afilu b'kashu b'gvav nami lo. And if it has the status of a tanur, then we shouldn't be able to allow to put food on top of a kupach, even in the case that it was heated by straw. Amalei nafish havli mi de kira v'zuter havli mi de tanur. It has more heat than a kira, but it's not as hot as a tanur. And therefore, its status is somewhere midway between a kira and a tanur, and it depends. If it was heated up by straw, then we're going to equate it with a kira. But if it was heated up by wood, we're going to equate it with a tanur. Now the Gemara wants to analyze what happens if you split the kira or the kupach in half. So hechi dami kupach, hechi dami kira, Rav Yossi bar Chanina, kupach makom shvisas ketira achas. That's why it has more heat than a kira. Kira makom shvisas shtei kederos. Amar Abai v'item Rav Yirmiya. Afanan nami tnina. I'm going to prove from a Mishnah in Masechta Taros. It's actually a Mishnah in Kalim. As far as Taros are concerned, that your description of kupach and akira is an accurate description. Kira shenechlaka le'orcha tahora le'rochba tmeya. Akira, which has a place for two pots, so and now you split it. You cut it down the middle. But when we say you cut it down the middle, you can cut it in two different ways. You can cut it from north to south, meaning what he calls the arka. Now you can no longer function with this kira, because you've split it in a way that it doesn't have room for any kederos. But if you split it down the middle, which is called the rochba, going from east to west, then it still retains its status, because basically what you, as a kli, because basically what you've done is you've made a kira into two kupachs. But kupach, bein li'arka, bein li'roch batar. Kupach only has room for one pot, so it doesn't matter which way you split it, you no longer have any function, this kupach is no longer functional, therefore it loses its shame kli. Now we're up to the second Mishnah, on the bottom of Lamed Ches Amid Beis. The Mishnah says, "Einos nin beitza b'tzada mecham b'shvil shetis galgel." You don't have to roast an egg fully. An egg is something that, even if you start the process of roasting, which is called tisgalgel, it's already considered roasted. And therefore, you chayev a chatos. What did you do? You took a raw egg and you put it up against the side of a hot kettle. Now, the hot kettle was heated by fire. And therefore, the status of the kettle itself is what's called toldas ha'esh. And toldas ha'esh generates bishul doraisa. And once the beitza gets to the state of misgalgel, it's already, shall we say, edible. And therefore, you violated a melacha d'oraisa of meleches bishul. V'lo yafki enu b'sudrin. Now we're down to a d'rabbanon. What is mafki enu b'sudrin? You have a scarf or a turban, a piece of cloth, and was heated up by the sun. And that's what's called Toldah Sachama. And we're up to the sheet of the Chachamim of Rabbi Yossi. And the Chachamim say they made a gzera of Toldah Sachama to Toldah Sa'ar. And therefore told the Sachama, if you heat something up on something that was heated by solar energy, that's considered midrabanan bishul. But it's only lo yafkienu. It's only an iser. It's not a chiyuv chatos. Now it's interesting. I don't know exactly how he pulls this off, but he actually breaks the egg open and he fries it on a hot scarf. Again, it wasn't heated by the sun. The scarf was heated by the sun. And Rabbi Yossi Mati, Rabbi Yossi never accepted this gzera on a drabonin level of Tolda Sachama. If Chama itself is mutter, so let's say I put an egg in the sun and it cooks, that's mutter. Then even Tolda Sachama is mutter, even something that was heated up by solar energy. So like, for example, our Junkers, I don't know what you call them in English, you know, those big things on top of the roof that bring us hot water. And those are heated up by solar energy. According to Rabbi Yossi, there's no problem. There's no way you could be mevashel there. It's like, for example, the problem of turning on the hot water because now new cold water comes in. According to Rabbi Yossi, it wouldn't matter because even those pipes or those pieces of metal inside the Yunkerim, which were heated up by solar energy, that's told the Sachama, which is mutter, according to Rabbi Yossi. But we paskin like the Chachamim, and that's why all our solar heated heaters on top are problematic, because told the Sachama is a gzera to told us ha'or. Then it says, lo yatminenu b'chol u'bavak drachim b'shvil shetitzla. Now this part of the Mishnah seems to reflect even the Shita Rabbi Yossi, as if to say that Rabbi Yossi admits that there is such a thing as told us hachama that's prohibited, and we're talking about sand or dust on the roads that have been baked in the sun, and now he takes an egg and he submerges the egg inside the sand or inside the dust of the road, both of which were heated up by the sun, and he's not allowed to do that, even according to Rabbi Yossi. And the question is why? If the sand or the dust was heated up by the sun, that's called Tolda Sachama, and Rabbi Yossi never accepted the Isur, the Gzera Shvus of Tolda Sachama. So that's going to be the subject of the sugya. The rest of the Mishnah tells us about Anshei Tveria. So let's give a little bit of an introduction. The hot springs of Tveria, according to the Gemara, again, the Gemara is going to reject this later, are heated up by the sun. And the Anshei Tveria did not want to bathe in the Chamei Tveri itself. What they wanted to do, they wanted to run a pipe under the water of Chamei Tveri. The waters of Chamei Tveri would heat up the water that would roll into be drawn into the pipe. And at the end of the pipe, they had a bathtub, and this water that was now heated up would give them the opportunity of washing their bodies in a hot bath. Maisa b'anshei shasu anshei Tveria ve'viu silon. Silon is a pipe. And they ran this pipe, shel tsonen, of cold water, litoch ama shel chamin. In other words, they created almost like a canal underneath the waters of Chamei Tveria. And they drew this pipe through this canal, and the cold water would go into the pipe. It would be heated by the Chamei Tveria, and then they would take a bath in the bathtub that collected all this water now they set this up on Erev Shabbos. Amalem Chachamim, the Chachamim objected, and they said, "In b'Shabbos, if the water is drawn on the Shabbos, even though you did nothing active to heat up the water, the water has the same status as water that was heated on Shabbos. Vasurim berchitza, you can't wash there. Ubishtia, you can't drink this water. The imbiyantiv, as far as yantiv is concerned, kechamin shehuchbu biyantiv, asur berchitza mutar bishtia. So the Torah allows us to do a meleches olchel nefesh on yontif, and therefore if he heats up the water for drinking purposes, that's called olchel nefesh, that's fine. But if he wants to take a bath in this water, then that's us, that's prohibited, because it's considered as if he heated the water on yontif, even though they set up this system to work for them on erev yontif.
Does this warmer water, is there a minimum temperature that it has to be?
I think we're going to have to wait a while with your question until we get, you know, more into the sugi itself. Bishul for water is yadsel lettuce bow, and
it doesn't seem too hot here.
Yeah, I don't know that this water is going to reach the heat of yadsel lettuce bow. I'm not sure. I was going to actually raise a different question. We'll leave your yadsel lettuce question for a while. And I wanted to ask a different question. We have a principle in Yontif called Mitoch. And that principle tells me that we're allowed to heat up water for a bath on Yontif. Meaning, the heter, the permissibility of Ochel Nefesh, is not limited to drinking or eating. It applies even to bathing. Again, that assumes that it's what's called Hanoa Shovel Chol Nefesh. Let's assume, for argument's sake, that anybody would appreciate a hot bath. And if that be the case, why do the Chachamim forbid, why are they objecting to bathing in the water that was heated on Yontif? And again, it wasn't really heated on Yontif in this case, but let's equate it with water that was heated on Yontif. Who says that you're not allowed to heat up water on Yontif for the purpose of taking a bath? Now I'm looking here to see if anybody asks my question here in the notes. Let me just see. So the only thing I find here at first glance that's relevant to my question is that this Isur is only an Isur Derabbanan. So maybe what's going on here is the Rabbanan didn't want to allow bathing in hot water neither on Shabbos nor on Yontif. Some sort of an extension of the Isur Shabbos to include the Isur Yontif as well. But as far as the Doraisa is concerned, even if I were to equate this water to water that was heated on Yontif itself, that would not be a problem. That would be mutter. But the bathing issue, that's already an Isur Derabbanan. And that bathing issue is, in its root, in its source, is an Isur Shabbos. And now we're seeing its application to the Isur of Yontif as well. Now, eventually what we're going to get to, but I think we're going to have to wait a while, is called Gzeres HaBalonim. Do you remember about that? That what happened was, they used to have the attendees who would heat up the fire. They would feed the fire in the cellar. There were openings from the cellar going up into the bathhouse. You know, the bathing in a bathhouse back in the day was a whole sociology. It was like an essential part of their society. And these guys who would heat up the fire were called balonim. And what was meant to be was that they would heat up, obviously, before Shabbos, feed the fire before Shabbos, and perhaps during Shabbos, the heat would go through these openings and heat up the bath on the main floor of the bathhouse. But what happened was the Balonim were guilty of hanky panky over here. They didn't, they didn't have any qualms about heating up the water on Shabbos itself. I mean, so that has to do with bathing. You know, bathing is going to be a major sugya here. I don't know if we'll get to it today, but Iboilahu Gilgal Mai. What is the status of someone who took a raw egg and violated this malacha by placing the egg on the outside of a hot kettle to the point to which it got partially fried or roasted? On Rav Yosef, Gilgal Chayev Chatos. And Omar Mar Berei de Ravina, Afana Nami Tnina, we learned it in a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Shabbos. Here we'll turn to Daf Lamitesam and Aleph. Kol Sheba Bechamin Milifnei Shabbos. Oh, okay, so this is a complicated Mishnah. But in any event, let's just first make the point that we have to know for our case of the Beitza, and that is, as we said before, that Toldos Ha'or is Bishul Doraisa, that anything that's heated up by the fire now is like the fire itself, and that's a Doraisa Halacha if you bake or cook or fry with that object that was heated up by the fire. That's called Bishul Doraisa, Tzliya Doraisa. Okay, now this Mishnah that we're about to learn on the top of Lamed Tesam and Aleph is what's called Kalei HaBishul. Have you heard of it? Kalei HaBishul?
Yes.
Yeah. So these are things like herring, I mean, as an example, we'll get into this, which very quickly cook. You don't require, you know, putting a fire underneath a pot and heating up the water in the pot, and then it could be that these kind of things are subject to Bishul in what's called a Kli Sheni. So I heated up a pot, the water boils in the pot, then I pour off the pot into a second utensil, and I can put certain kinds of foods in this second utensil, which is called a Kli Sheni, and they were actually cook in a Kli Sheni. But first, the Mishnah talks about the regular case of food. Kol sheba bechamin milifnei Shabbos, shorin also bechamin b'Shabbos. So let's say you cooked food before Shabbos, and now to heat it up on Shabbos after it cools off, you want to soak it, that's called shriya, in hot water, in a Kli Sheni. And it seems like you're allowed to do this. However, kol shelo ba b'chamin lifnei Shabbos. Oh, so now we're talking about, let's say a regular food, and you want to soak it on Shabbos in hot water in order to cook it. So that you're not allowed to do. Even though, again, on a deraisa level, it should be mutter, but what we will allow you to do is madichin oso bechamin b'Shabbos. You're allowed to pour hot water over the food on Shabbos. That's already what's called irui klisheni. That's already much more, shall we say, far removed, a few steps removed from bishul. So again, he's not going to allow you to soak the food in a receptacle that has hot water in it, but he's going to allow you to take from this receptacle and rinse the object with the hot water from this receptacle. Chutz min amaliach yashan v'kulyas ha'ispinin. So these are two types of fish that are kalei HaBishul, which means that even if you pour hot water from a kli sheni over these, let's say, pieces of herring, it will cause that herring to become edible. So what's maliach yashan? This is, I guess you'd call it like smoked fish, you know, it's fish that's processed over the course of a period of time. So we call it old salted fish. Maliach means it's salted. And he's got a Spanish fish, which is called Kuyas Ispinin. He translates it here as mackerel, Spanish mackerel. These fish are tender. They're salted fish. And you could eat them without cooking as long as you pour hot water over them. They become fit for consumption. Shahadachasam zui gmar bimalachton. That all you need to prepare these fish and make them edible is by pouring from a klisheni hot water over these fish. I mean, that's an amazing halacha. We always say the klisheni ain't a mavasha. How much more so if he pours out of a klisheni? But here in Hilchas Shabbos, we find a chumrah that we never found. Now the language here, gemar malachtum, seems to indicate that we're dealing with an isa d'oraisa of presumably meleches bishul. I mean, the Rav Zichron Levracha is in the Hari Kedem has a whole piece about what was I going to say? Oh yeah, the Rav has a whole discussion here about let's say Basa B'Cholov as opposed to Shabbos. Right, we have an Isur Bishul in Kol Tarkula, it's Erev Pesach, we'll have an Isur Bishul in the Korban Pesach, and there's an Isur Bishul in Basa B'Cholov, and the Rav wants to say that Hadachasam Zui Gemar Malachton might be a special halach in Shabbos. That in Shabbos, what sets up Meleches Machshevos is the tikkun. You know, you had these fish that were salty, they were inedible, and you made them edible by rinsing them off in boiling hot water. But that's a Shabbos halacha. And the Rav has a Yerushalmi in Shabbos. Again, this is a whole long discussion, that Gemar Malachton doesn't mean Bishul. It means Makabe Patish. Wild. But anyway, that's just mentioning that to you for to stimulate your curiosity. Anyway, Shmamino. Now the Gemara takes this Mishnah and applies it to the case of the egg that was roasted on the side of a kettle. And this is also like the case of Adachasan, Zui Gmar Malachton, this is also a violation of a Malacha Doraisa with a Chiv Chatos. Now, I suspect, although I don't have a clear-cut proof for this, that the analogy here between these salty fish, etc., and the case of an egg is what you call kaliyat bishul. In other words, food that becomes edible with like a very superficial process of bishul that normally would not make food edible. But just like we find in the Spanish mackerels and herring and the like, that all you need is hadacha, and that's considered a malacha d'oraisa because it doesn't take much of a heating process, of a cooking process, to make these salty fish edible. So too, by analogy, in the case of an egg, all you need is a kind of low-key tzliya. This is not your classic roasting over an open fire. You know, you're just smacking it up against the side of a kettle, but that's enough to create an egg that's edible. an edible egg. Now, in theory, you could eat a raw egg, but I don't think people usually do that, unless you're Rocky, maybe, I don't know. So, for you and I, we need some level of bishul or tzliya, and it could be very minimal. You know, we're going to see cases where he rolls an egg on the top of a roof, and the roof is hot enough that he can roast the egg. Or he cracks it over a scarf, if you remember that case. Here, he just rolls it onto the side of a hot kettle, and it begins to fry, and it's edible. And it's no different than these Kali Abishal cases of salty fish in a klisheni, and not only in a klisheni, but maybe iri klisheni, and there's bishal, and yechayv do raisa. You know, I'm wondering, what would be the status of Gilgul Beitza Mecham, for other Yisurim of Bishul. I don't know. It might be just the Shabbos halach, as we said before, in Meleches Machshevos, because you took food that was not edible, and you crossed that boundary and made it into edible food. Now the Gemara is going to ask a kasha on Rabbi Yossi. V'lo yafkenu b'sudrin, and Rabbi Yossi is matir, and this is again told us achama. So the Gemara asks for a tanan. The Mishnah says, again, this Mishnah is at the end of Masechta Shabbos. It says, nosnin tavshil etocha bar b'shvil shehe shamur. So you want to protect food, make sure it doesn't get too hot, so you put it in a cold place, you put it down in a bar, in a pit. So you're allowed to take good, healthy water, and you're allowed to place it into a murky water in order to cool off the water. And basically the principle here is that there's no din of hatmona bitsonen. Hatmona means you're not allowed to insulate something in order to increase its heat. But to maintain a cool temperature, that's okay. Vesatsonen bechama bishvil sheichomu. But you're allowed to take cold water and place it in the sun, and it's going to get heated by solar energy. His lema Rabbi Yossi he velo rabbanon. Do we have to assume this is Rabbi Yossi? Nein. Amar Rav Nachman bechama. If it's directly heated by the sun, kuliyamalo pli v'shari. That's called chama. Chama. Everybody agrees is mutter. And therefore, when it says that in the Mishnah you're allowed to take cold water and heat it up in the sun, that's accepted universally, even by the Chachamim. But told us aar kuliyamalo pligi diaser. I don't know why the Gemara used the word diaser, because told us achama is a chiyuv chata, a chiyuv melechad oraisa. Ki pligi, what's the machlokas between Chacham Rabbi Yossi? But told us achama. You have something like a scarf that was heated up by the sun. That's called Tolda Sachama. And now he fries an egg on this scarf. Is Mar Savar, according to the Chachamim, Gazrin and Tolda Sachama, or to Tolda Sa'ar. Now we're going to equate any heat that's a derivative of the sun with heat that's a derivative of Eish. Umar Savar, lo Gazrin, Rabbi Yossi never accepted that Gzera. No, but then in the Mishnah it says, lo yatmin en v'chol, implying that even Rabbi Yossi would agree you're not allowed to take an egg and submerge it into the sand. The sand was heated up by the sun. V'liflog nami Rabbi Yossi b'ha. Why doesn't Rabbi Yossi argue even in this case? And he should allow it. Why? Because it's Tolda Sachama, and Rabbi Yossi holds that you're allowed to cook something in Tolda Sachama. And we saw it in our Mishnah, because Rabbi Yossi said in our Mishnah that Yesh lahatir hafkas sudrin, that you could crack your egg over the scarf that was heated by the sun. Rabba Omar, gzeira shemiyatmin biremetz. Rav Yosef Omar, mipnei shemezes ofar bimkomo. My benayu ikabenayu ofar tichoach. So this is the sugya that we have to learn. Be'iyun gadol, be major sugya. Why does Rav Yossi agree that you're not allowed to bury an egg in the sand or in the dust, and that's considered cooking, even though it's only told us achama? And the answer is it's the drabanan, and Rav has one twist on the drabanan, and Rav Yosef has a different understanding of this isur drabanan. We're on daf lamites amid aleph, and I would ask you to please remember this for me in case I forget. And we're up to the Liflog Nami, Rav Yossi Berha.